I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Yo, and welcome to another edition of Spoiler Movie Reviews on the Black Guy Who Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, and I'm joined, as always, by someone else who saw the movie. This movie is called The Interview. You guys may have heard about it. And this guest is called JL Covan of JLComedy.com and also of the Righteous Prick Podcast. What's going on, JL?
Oh, nothing much. Happy to be here. Happy to defend this great, maybe not great film, but great American statement.
Freedom of speech. Well, we are definitely gonna get into it now. Here in Spoiler Movie Reviews, we like to talk about movies that you've either seen already, you don't ever plan on seeing, or you just don't give a fuck. And I don't know if it's hard. I guess the spoiler for this one is the critics were right. The hackers had it right. They got ahead of the curve on this one. It should have never came out. But
hackers gonna hack.
this movie stars, of course, James Franco, Seth Rogen, and an action comedy, Dave Skylark, who is a interview TV show host, and his producer, Aaron Rappaport, played by Seth Rogen, run the popular celebrity tabloid TV show Skylark Tonight when they discover that the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is a fan of the show. They land an interview with him in an attempt to legitimize themselves as journalists. As Dave and Aaron prepare to travel to Pyongyang, their plans change when the CIA recruits them, perhaps the two least qualified men imaginable to assassinate Kim Jong-un. Let's talk about what worked for the movie, and then we'll get into what didn't work. Go ahead, JL. What worked for you, man?
And now, can I list a couple of things?
Yeah, you can list as much as you want, man.
First on my list, James Franco. Now, you know, we have both discussed that when I saw the first preview, the first promo for this, not the full in-depth preview, but this is the first promo, I said, look at these guys trying to be the dudes from South Park. Enough already. Get over yourselves. Stop doing all your goofy, like, half-funny buddy stuff, even though I thought This Is the End was great. Stop doing your little buddy, your Kanye West parodies. Get over yourselves. Like, move on. Then I saw the movie. I thought James Franco was legitimately hilarious. I'm not sugarcoating that. I'm not going to take a half step and say he had some funny parts. I thought for most of the movie he had me laughing with his stupidity and his vanity. So that's the first thing. And since he's like basically the star of the movie, I think that goes a long way in my enjoyment of the comedy.
Yes.
I thought the guy who played Kim Jong-il was solid. Mm-hmm. And I liked that when they were playing basketball, they were playing on like an 8-foot rim so that he could dunk.
Yeah.
And I thought, I would say if the movie was an hour and 50 minutes, I think I'd say I enjoyed about 70 to 75 minutes of the movie. Like, I was laughing, and I'll admit, I think part of me, I mean, I left work early to come home and watch it so I could get up a movie review, and because I really wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was giddy. I haven't been giddy about a movie in a while, but it felt like I was doing something, I don't want to say cool, but it felt, because of all the controversy and because of all the issues, I was like excited to watch it. So I came in prepped to enjoy myself.
Yes.
Like, I wasn't coming in the way I usually go in, which is like, okay, I spent 15 bucks, I'm seeing this movie because I need a review, or like, I was giddy and I was like, $6, absolutely, let's do this.
Yeah.
So I'll admit that some of my enjoyment might have to do with that,
mm-hmm.
but James Franco, the guy, Seth Rogen's fine to me. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with him in this movie. So I just, I don't know. I guess maybe I have a low bar for certain comedies, but I overall enjoyed the movie. I thought it dragged on. Well, we can get to that in the negatives, but James Franco, very funny. Most of the movie, very funny, or at least humorous. And the guy who played Kim Jong-il had some funny parts. And the Katy Perry stuff made me laugh, especially the way they kill Kim Jong-il with, with like a really sensitive version of Firework playing in the background.
Yeah, I think I don't know enough about Katy Perry's music to, like, I got the joke that it was supposed to be that she's a pop star that mostly women listen to. Right. But, and that, Dave Skylark and Kim Jong-un secretly enjoyed and they bonded over that. But I don't know. I just didn't, I guess I need to know more about her and I don't. So I didn't get the like huge irony there that I probably would have if I didn't, you know, enjoyed or hated that song enough. Then I would have been like, oh shit, you know, for things that I enjoyed, I gotta say, man, I really enjoyed the budget on this shit, man. Like they shot the fuck out of this film. As far as like where they were at, like when they were, it felt like they were in North Korea. Now I've never been in North Korea, but it felt like every fucking promo or, you know, like, propaganda I've ever seen about how we're supposed to hate them. I felt like they did a good job of that. They got the, of course, obligatory slow-mo, we're getting drunk scenes, in the movie. although they cut down the length of those, I guess they knew that people are getting tired of that shit, you know, it's like a one trick thing, but, they did that well. Of course the bromance between Seth and James, was real. Like, you know, it kind of like, while some of it was kind of cliche shit that they do all the time, and I'm sure I'll get into that in the negatives, the genuine like relationship there felt cool. Like, even when
if I can on that topic, I actually, what I kind of liked also was I felt like James Franco's character was verging into the gay.
Like
it wasn't just, hey man, you're my bro. I liked how Seth Rogen was completely just heterosexual dude.
Yeah.
And James Franco every so often would have these moments where you thought he was going to like try and kiss him or like say something like about, like sex.
Right. Yeah. It was very, I mean, he did kiss him a few times and, you know, at one point he's telling, Seth Rogen to smell his dick. Like, you know, it's very like, we're going to push the envelope as far as we can towards like the gay jokes, which, you know, works on two levels for me. On the one level, it's like, oh man, that's funny that these guys would try that. They're both straight. And then on another level, it's kind of like when liberal people are racist a little bit where you're like, all right, man, you know, real people are gay. It's not just funny that they're gay, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I like those. What else do I like about this shit? Let's see. I like the way it was filmed. I guess that's about it. I didn't really, and I like that they went for it with, Franco. Like, he went for it. I don't know that he came off as funny to me as he did to JL, but you cannot take away the fact that he tried. Like, I've never seen him play a character like this before, and I've watched all the Frat Pack movies. So if you want to see something different, from Franco where he's actually like going for the fun, cause normally they give him like the stoner role or the, you know, even in This Is the End, he's James Franco. So, like, this is the first one where he's just playing a complete ignorant douchebag who, you know, well-meaning, but aloof, doesn't get it, but just, like, he really fucking goes for that bar, man. And I did appreciate that. If you're going to go out swinging, dog.
Ainer's going to ain't.
Ainer's, they just KY jealous. Like, I did
I'm
like
sorry,
that.
And little goofy lines. Yeah. I'm sorry. When he says, and I know it's in the preview, but I still laughed when the woman goes, yeah, he just keeps saying shit like, the tiger can't even see you at night. And then the chick says from Masters of Sex goes, no, they have night vision. And then he just goes, tigers have night vision goggles?
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like, I thought some of the dumb writing was really good. And that, like, I couldn't help it. Like, there was just, he was so loose. Like you said, he went for it that I went along with him. So, like, I was on board. When he would say something funny or stupid, I was with him.
Yeah, this movie could have been way worse if he would have been more reserved. Because Seth Rogen was playing the reserved guy this time.
Right.
And they can't have two straight men in a comedy. So he had to be the doofus, the dumbass, you know, the gag with the poison where the security guard eats it and then they keep asking him, is he okay the whole time? Like, shit like that really, he was really good at, you know, still being clueless, Even another positive, the bonding scene between him and Kim Jong Il and how Kim Jong Un and how they become friends. It's believable because he's so, he plays it so stupid.
Right.
You know, so that was kind of cool.
And like, he feels betrayed by Kim Jong Un.
Yes. Like, yes.
Like, you put fake fruit. And was that even really a fat kid?
Yes. Oh, and I did forget, cause I do want to give the movie a lot of credit for this. I almost wish they'd done more or hit us on the back end with some outtakes or something. These celebrity interviews were gold. They were all fucking great.
The Eminem one.
The Eminem one was perfect.
What a great way to start the movie. Like, that got me on, I think that got me on board. Like, when Eminem just slips in, we're allowed to spoil it, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
He's like, I think I was so mad at gay people because I'm gay. And, like, the producers are all like, wait, what? What did you say? And James Franco is so dumb. Like, he keeps going, so you're gay, which means.
Yeah.
What exactly? And, like, he keeps, like, trying to get, like, it's
And Aaron gets his earpiece, and they're using, like, Eminem lyrics to be like, so when you said, I will, you know, meet this dude behind a bar, he's making out fucking in the ass, was that really, like, yes, that's a real person, that really happened. And you're just like, yes! Yeah, it was so good, man. And I wish they could have stuck a little bit more with that, or gave us more, like, when they come back and get their comeuppance, because I would have loved for Seth to, like, stunt on that one dude who, like, shitted on him for not working with 60 minutes. You know, like, I work with 60 minutes. You work
it's
with
just actually the guy from Top 5 that we were just off air on Anders Holm.
Having a big year, man.
Huge. I've always said it. I not to go off track, but no, I told somebody, I said, if anybody out there watches Workaholics, I said, Adam Devine, who's like the kind of guy who's gotten the most other work,
mm-hmm.
he's like your if you're going on basic sports stats, he's your points and rebounds guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Anders, if you watch, I always thought was the best guy on Workaholics. I think he's like your advanced stat guy. Like, if you know, the advanced metrics, where you're like, he may not be getting the big goofy laughs, but he's doing all the subtle things that a good comedy fan will really enjoy.
Mm.
And I think he's starting to get these little roles where he can do a little versatility, and he doesn't need a lot of time to make an impact with just kind of his skills.
Well, also, I mean, it takes that versatility to play the other roles in the comedy. Like, the comedy can't be good without the good straight man. In this one, the good douchebag, you know, like, you need these things. And, he definitely is showing range here. And, I wish we got the comeuppance scene. Like, later, you know what I mean? Where we get the, motherfucker, I just killed Kim Jong-un and got the interview. Right. He cried on the air. He peed his pants, you know, like, I wish we could have got more of that stuff. All right, let's talk about what didn't, but I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying the interview shit was so good. Rob Lowe, all of it. It was just so good. I wish they wouldn't have shown that part in the trailer, really. The Rambo shit. But all that shit was great. All right. Let's talk about what didn't work for the film. I'll let you go first, JL.
Okay. And I'm really just basing this off of feel. Because, mm-hmm. like, for the first 50 minutes, I'd say, I have no complaints. As far as, like, a comedy goes, I was laughing. I was on board with what they were doing, so I have no complaints for the first probably close to half of the movie. And then I just started to get into that mode where I was, like, pacing around my apartment. I was checking my watch a little bit. Once they get to North Korea, like, I liked the interactions between James Franco and Kim Jong-un, and I thought they established that quickly without wasting too much time, that they were going to have this kind of, like, weird, stupid bromance.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like how at the end they say, I was honey-potting him.
Honey-dicking?
Honey-dicking.
So
I was honey-dicking him.
Yes.
But I just started to feel like the North Korea stuff was starting to, you know, and the action scenes. Like, I just started to feel like this isn't as funny as they think it is.
Mm.
When they bite the finger off, I just feel like that's kind of like an Anchorman-style thing when, like, Luke Wilson gets his hands chopped off.
Yes.
In Anchorman. And I was like, I just wasn't laughing. It wasn't that I thought it was bad, but if I'm going to judge a comedy, whether it's a good quality movie or not, if I'm going to forgive that if I'm laughing, then I have to be annoyed if I'm not laughing. And for like when the action stuff started, I found myself laughing, like not laughing very much.
Yeah, and, I feel like
and it felt longer than it needed to be for a goofy comedy. Like I felt like they were making a point, like we're gonna show some really gruesome violence, like, and it's gonna make you kind of laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, it's not really making me laugh. It's not making me like feel queasy, but I'm not laughing. So I felt like once there was like a good 20 to 30 minute chunk where they had to kind of push this action agenda and I wasn't laughing. And so I was like, I kind of had a long lull until they kill Kim Jong-un with Katy Perry, like a dramatic Katy Perry song playing in the back, like a dramatic redo of a Katy Perry song playing as the bomb goes off on his plane.
Yeah.
There was a big lull where I was just like, in my head, I was almost going, okay, when the haters start to really hate on this movie, now this is the point where they're going to be like, I wasn't laughing, this wasn't funny, it was just getting kind of goofy and violent. And that would be my biggest critique. So, like, that's why I couldn't give it a higher grade than, like, a B. Not that I'm supposed to spoil my rating, but, like...
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool.
It was... That's when I kind of was like, okay, so you kind of stuck it for an hour, and then you kind of had this half hour, 35 minutes, where it was just, like, getting kind of messy.
Right.
So that's, I mean, and that's a big chunk. That's a big problem, like, when, like, a third of your movie is kind of messy and not that funny.
Yeah, I think that is a huge issue with the movie. I definitely couldn't put this in my top comedies for that Franco, Rogan duo. And the main thing I realized that let me play a clip real quick.
Kim Jong-un is now capable of nuking all of the West Coast. The point is, we're talking about nuclear nations at war with each other.
Why are you telling us all this information?
We're telling you this because you two... lucky gentlemen are going to be in a room alone with him. Congratulations, by the way.
That's right.
The CIA would love it if you two could take him out.
Hmm?
Take him out.
Take him out. Like for drinks?
No, no, no. Take him out.
Take out. Like to dinner?
Take him out to a meal?
Take him out.
Like on the town?
Party?
No, take him out.
You want us to assassinate the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What?
All right, so
and that whole scene when you were playing it, I was like, too long. Oh, but James Franco with the goofy save.
Yeah, he and that's pretty much his job the whole movie, in my opinion, is to do something goofy in every scene to like make you forget that some of this shit's not that funny.
Because in that scene, I felt, if I recall, it's like he was staring at her tits the whole time, and it was almost like he felt betrayed when it became clear. Like, his what is not like, that's crazy. It's more like, how could you do this to me?
Yeah, and so I would say my main gripe, other than, you know, what JL said, it is too long. It's about 20 to 30 minutes too long. And I only say too long because, honestly, it wouldn't be too long if those moments were funny. But since they're kind of serious and like they're getting shot at and there's a fucking tank and fingers are getting bit off and there's a joystick up a dude's ass that is, you know, like there's just moments where you're just like, I guess, you know, like this is more gross than funny at this point. Like, and they do that a couple times, you know, the dude that throws up and shits himself and shoots a dude in the head. Like there's a couple moments where it's like, to me, it was more gross than funny. Personally, you know, kind of on some frat boy shit, but I noticed the main thing is they don't have the surrounding cast they typically have, and I think that always makes their movies better. Like, I like Pineapple Express, but I get Danny McBride, I get Craig Robinson, and I needed that for this movie. In general, I think I need it for all their comedies. Like This Is the End to me is their best work. And it's because, you know, in addition to like your Channing Tatums and Kevin Hart like moments, you do get this like Danny McBride, you know, bouncing off of each character, which gives the movie more volume. Like, okay, this scene's funny and, you know, Franco doesn't have to be funny in this scene. Or if he is funny, it's they're being funny backwards. Like when and This Is the End, when Danny McBride and James Franco go back and forth about jacking off in the magazine, in the house. Like that is fucking gold. Like, I was crying by the end of that
interaction. Well, Danny McBride in This Is It,
yes,
I feel like should have retired because he went so full Danny McBride. Like, he like out Kenny Powers.
He did.
Himself. Like, and it was great. But to me, it was like, now you have to retire that whole persona.
Yeah, no way can you do better than that.
Because you've done it. It's done. Like, you just went all the way with that character. And it was great because it was like, most people might say, oh, it's just Danny McBride being Danny McBride. I'm like, no, that was Danny McBride going for 60 points.
Yeah, that's the most. That's Kobe's 81-point game.
Yes.
Like, that's the most Danny McBride it can get, dude. So
that would be Kobe's 81 points if he also then quit on his team in the last 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. If it was tied and he goes, nah, Kwame Brown, you shoot it. Like, that would be fucking, that would be the best game. Oh, man. I hope he's able to do it one more time then. But yeah, so I realized that after, I think it's slow realization, like, it took me a while to be like, cause I was kind of down on myself, for not liking the movie because, you know, JL liked it and he was on Facebook saying how much he liked it. And then, you know, obviously my patriotism, I'm definitely a person that, despite how this country feels about me, I still love this country. and I was like, why the fuck didn't I think that was that funny compared to the other movies? And I think it's cause, if they would have slid like a Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, Jonah Hill kind of cameo, or just like some, even if it weren't those guys, some other people in the movie that were funny, I think I would have liked it a lot more. But they really didn't, like, even the Asian cast members and the CIA people, none of them played it for funny. Like, no one else was funny in the fucking movie except really Franco to me.
Well, and I was just going to say, to make a sport, to continue sports analogies, Franco is like a guy who should be, he could have been a number one option, but he needed supporting cast. Like, in other words, it was, he was having to do all, right, like you said, all the funny was on him.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, maybe instead of trying to average 35 for the game, he needed to average, you know, 19. And it would have made his moments more, even more potent.
Right. And, but
like,
and the
he
thing
had to take
is,
all the shots.
Right.
Know,
and because of the
all the points.
Because of the way they wrote this movie and because of the fact that they just didn't have the cast to support that, it really does end up, like, for me personally, it got, like, a little tiring of Franco because it was like, it's like stand up, man. An hour is a long time to be funny, but it's kind of like if you're really good at it, you can pull that shit off. 2 hours is a fucking long time to be funny, man. You know what I mean? And, like, when you get to that last third and they're getting shot at and he's like, you know, hold on to the puppy and protect that puppy with your life and shit like that, you're just kind of like, I guess, man. Like, I don't know.
They ran out of a material for him to use.
Yeah, and the situation just wasn't as funny. You know what I mean? Like, him being clueless in that situation while driving the tank and also killing Kim Jong-un, just, I don't know, it just felt off to me. Like you said, they ran out of shit to do. But, that was my main gripe that I realized. And there's some small shit, like, you know, some of the sism in there, the racism with the, like, Asian voices. And I think sometimes they do this thing that South Park does, too, where you're just supposed to laugh because someone's being different. Like, look at it. They're speaking English, but it's kind of like fucked up. You know, so be like, oh, those Asians. Wow. You know, and I realized like halfway through the movie, I don't even know what the fuck a North Korean sounds like.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah. So I was
that's
like,
the problem.
I'm like, this is only racist. Like, it's not even like, I don't know if Kim Jong-un is like this or not, but it was just like, I guess in a way this is only off of our American like ideals of like what we think, how much better we are than them and what we think they would be like. Cause I don't fucking know, man. North Korea could sound like any fucking thing.
Although they said they did their research on at least his personality and said when he's not being like a psycho dictator,
mm-hmm.
you know, this dude executed his uncle to like consolidate power. Like,
yeah.
That's fucked. And like he had like an ex-girlfriend executed.
Yeah, and her family too.
Yeah, that's fucking, that's some Saddam Hussein level shit. Like,
yeah.
And But at the same time, they said he can be very charming when he likes somebody and wants to impress somebody. And, like, that's probably what happened to somebody like Dennis Rodman, who,
yeah,
who's like, you know, if you've ever seen The Bad Boys, 30 for 30, which I loved. It's, yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Awesome.
Man, that they could do a whole movie on Dennis Rodman, as far as I'm concerned.
They really should.
Like, what happened with that dude and how you – I mean, people forget what a – not to branch off on Dennis Rodman, but, like, people forget what a hardworking, like, humble – kind of like teammate and great worker Dennis Rodman was. Like, now people just kind of see the hair and the tattoos,
right,
and he was still a hard-ass working player even when he got all that shit done.
Yeah, he was the number one. Like, it's one of those things, like how people pump up Jordan sometimes and they do that thing where the ghost of Michael Jordan is better than Michael Jordan was.
Right.
And they'll say shit like, well, he didn't who was he playing with? Scottie Pippen? I mean, Dennis Rodman? Are you serious? And you're like, Dennis Rodman, the number one rebounder and best defensive player in the NBA? Yeah. Yeah, that guy's good. He was actually fucking good. Even with the hair, even with the tats, he was fucking frustrating Karl Malone. He was still out-rebounding Karl Malone. Karl Malone.
Oh, watch yourself. Watch yourself.
Karl Malone, MVP level Karl Malone. Not just some fucking scrub. You know what I mean? Like, this, like, that's a feat.
And
like,
the enthusiasm he played with, and then in those Piston highlights, like, that was real. Like,
right,
he was like, I was happy to be out there. I was giving my all, and the crowd loved him.
Yeah, man.
And people forget that, but the whole point is they talk about how Dennis Rodman, like, wanted a family and, like, you know, had a bad relationship, like, his mother, like, not a good relationship, didn't feel love in his home, like, was a fucking janitor until he grew 7 inches.
Right.
Which is a hilarious story.
Right.
And that alone, I mean, they should be making a movie about this dude, for real. But I feel like if Kim Jong-un gives him the same kind of, you're a hero here, I love your style, I love your skills, I love your work ethic, here's money and here's women and here's, like, a tour of my country, you could see somebody like Dennis Rodman being, like, seduced by that.
Of
because
course.
He's, like, a hardcore Kim Jong-un defender.
Yep.
And I feel like when you look at the James Franco character, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, yeah, we kind of based that a little bit off of Dennis Rodman, how,
yeah,
like, this guy who wants a friend and wants to be taken seriously gets that from Kim Jong-un, and that's when he becomes, like, this big defender of him in the movie.
And Dennis even, you know, went on TV and, you know, didn't even know about the hostage situation, and Dennis actually got that dude free. A lot of people don't know that I forget who the hostage dude was, but they asked him about it on TV. He didn't really seem to know shit about it. But they actually let that dude go. And I wonder if Kim Jong-un was doing that, like, for his friend Dennis. Like, hey, you know, I let him go. We still cool, right? Bring Charles Smith back. I need somebody to miss some more layups. all right, man. Let's go ahead and give this bad boy our rating from 0 to 5. JL, you go first.
Okay, now 3 is matinee.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 3, which to me means rent it.
Yeah.
Like, since it's set $6 to rent, I say, I know a lot of people, it's very divisive right now, this movie, because I've seen some people really enjoying it like me and other people being kind of like, it's terrible. I give it a flat 3 stars. I say rent it, on your YouTube or Xbox or whatever.
All right. Now, me personally, I have to give this thing, let's see, what is 1? TNT, 2 is Netflix. I would personally give it a 0. Just don't even see it. Fuck them.
Ah!
Fuck you. Yeah, go watch some of their good movies. Because to me, they've been much funnier. And then, you know, with all the stuff with Sony and all the, like, hype, it'll make you get, you're already too jacked up to see it. You're gonna be let down by it. Maybe if you listen to this review and you hear me say 0, you'll, like, now you should have already seen it, but you'll be like, oh, now I like it because Rod said it would be a fucking 0. Like, but it's not, but it's just, it, to me, it was like a much ado about nothing. It's a middle of the road movie for a lot of hype. Now, after all that said, I also give this a 5, which means you need to fucking see it immediately. Cause we're not gonna let those terrorists beat us, alright? We're America, and nobody gets to fucking tell us who we can pick on. We made a movie about Saddam Hussein when that motherfucker was alive. It was called Hot Shots Part 2, one of the funniest movies of all time, and nobody was writing think pieces about how we shouldn't offend anybody. They were like, oh, what if another country made a movie about killing Barack Obama? We would be like, fuck them, but we would let that movie come out because we're America and we don't back down just from a little bit of humor at our expense. And that's what it's about, man. There's plenty of people out there.
Let me correct that for a second. There would be people, namely the Republican. Well, no, the Republican Party, if there was a movie about killing Bush.
Right.
Would want to wage war, but there would be enough sane people understanding what democracy is about who would say, shut up.
Yeah, we would
if
not.
If there was a movie about killing Obama, they'd kind of secretly just be like, okay.
Right. We wouldn't threaten 9/11 on anybody. I mean, Fox News would say something, but literally no one here would be like, we're going to blow up any theater that fucking shows a movie about killing our president. Why? Because we're fucking America and we stand for something here. So we are not going to let this bullshit slide, guys. You need to see the movie. It's your patriotic duty. I did it. I was in the shit, man. I was there with my wife. I watched the life go out of her eyes as she got up and went to the bedroom and left me to watch this shit by myself. But I stayed there for you. You, the American that's listening to this, I fought for your rights to see this movie as well. So give them your $6. I think they only made $1 million so far because some of you guys out there powered in this shit. All right? Pay the money. Even if you don't watch the movie, you pay the money.
See, that I disagree with. I honestly disagree with pirating this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't do it. Pay the money.
I will say this. One thing I wanted to add before this review ends. The way you described this movie, and we both agree that This Is the End is their best movie.
Oh, my
like,
God.
That,
yeah.
That
so
is
good.
Legitimately hysterical. And really doesn't have many lulls.
Right.
I will say the way you describe this movie is the way I describe Tropic Thunder to people.
Mm.
I'm like, there's so much, except Tropic Thunder has incredible roster of comedic talent.
Exactly.
But I remember watching that movie and going, man, I laughed at a lot of scenes. So why don't I like it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's a movie with more things I can quote or remember that are funny. And then when you ask me how I like the movie, I go, hey, it was okay.
Yeah, I loved Tropic Thunder in the theater, but I don't think I've ever watched it again. So,
I mean, there's just so many. I mean, Tom Cruise, Robert Downey Jr.,
yes. Even,
like Brandon T. Jackson?
Yep.
There's so many
Jack
people.
Black?
Jack Black, who's one of my favorites. Like, Ben Stiller, Steve Coogan. Like, there is so, Danny McBride. There are so many funny people who have, like, funny scenes. And then when the movie's over, I go, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't think that was, like, great.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I do think that, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with disliking the movie. I don't think there's anything wrong with really liking the movie. What I do think is wrong is letting those fucking terrorists win. We're not scared here in America. You can hack our shit. You can expose the racism that is in the corporate offices of Sony. And I still say we got to go see this movie, man. You know? So I really wish George Clooney would have wrote a piece about what they said about Denzel, too. But, hey, he picked his battles, and I think we should pick ours, and everyone should have to go see this movie. So that brings my total score up to 2.5, all right? So if you're averaging between my 0 and my 5, there's a 2.5 for this movie.
And because it's a rental at home, I think that bumps it up to the 3.
Well, you got the patriotism bump to get it to the 2.5. So, I mean, we do the solid score. So let's round it up to the 3 because it's a solid score. So you guys should definitely go see this. I know everybody thought that you were going to see a fight today between me and JL, but I'm telling you, we just take different paths to get to the same conclusion. Make sure you guys check out JL, jlcomedy.com. Also his podcast, The Righteous Prick Podcast, make sure you check to see whenever he's around or in your town too. Just check the calendar starting in January because he.
Oh yeah, thank you. Don't check it now. Yeah. It looks it's broken. How about that? My calendar's broken. It looks blank, but that can't be. That can't be to the truth.
Make sure you guys do that. We'll be back with another movie review soon. Peace. Get your act together. My life's a movie. I'll leave you in that act forever. Huh?
watched like a movie.